and she started screaming. And then everything started getting to her mouth, which was worst. And then if it wasn't enough, she started throwing up. So it was a dog peeing on the table, the urine going everywhere because she was still in the first dryer, and throwing up on the floor. And I didn't know if I was going to throw up with her or if I helped, if I turn off the dryer or if I grab the dog. But yeah.
Did you just stand there and watch?
I didn't know what to do. Cause it was like, what can you do? Like, I was disgusted with the fact that she was throwing up. Cause I mean, the dog can do anything in front of me.
It was like watching a real life.
But if the person does, then I would throw up. You know what I mean?
Our special guest this episode has served as a grooming judge at large competitions while also winning multiple grooming awards internationally for grooming. He is a salon owner, seminar speaker, and currently has over 20,000 Instagram followers. He recently placed 5th overall in the most recent Super Zoo competition, which boasts a $10,000 grand prize. I hope you enjoy our episode with the talented Gabriel Fitosa.
Hey, hey, you found us. This is Grooming Unleashed, where we learn and talk about the ins and outs of the pet grooming industry. From pro groomers and salon owners to show hosts and dog handlers, we'll jump into the stressful and crazy stories of the day-to-day operations of the crazy world of grooming. I'm your host, Ryan Alvarez. Our podcast is sponsored by Loyalty Pet Products. Loyalty Pet Products provides quality grooming tools and accessories at an affordable price. From shears to stripping knives to smocks and hammocks, Loyalty Pet Products has an essential tool to fit your expectation and style. Use code UNLEASHED to save 10% today. Loyalty Pet Products, uniquely designed, beautifully priced. Hey, everybody, this is Ryan Alvarez with Grooming Unleashed, and I am your host for today's episode. And we are here with Gabriel Fitosa. And Gabriel, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Hi, everyone. I'm Gabriel Fitosa. I've been grooming since I'm 12 years old. That makes me a groomer for longer in my life than I am alive, actually. So I've worked with several breeders, handlers. I bred dogs. I showed dogs. I did grooming competitions. I currently own a business in San Diego called Gabriel Fitosa Grooming Salon. I have some awards internationally, Chile, Mexico, Brazil, some United States, and Argentina. And I'm very happy to be here with Ryan for the Groomers Unleashed.
All right. Thank you very much. And tell us about your upbringing and what led you to get into grooming to begin with.
Well, I come from a very, very poor town in Brazil. And when I was 12 years old, I used to take my sister's dog to the grooming salon. That would be about It would be like 30 minutes walking. And I would take the dog and wait. And then when the dog was ready, bring it back home. But, you know, the groomer was always late. So I asked her one day if she could let me groom the dog, and I would still pay her. And of course, she said yes. And after that, I learned how to wash and dry my own dog. And I always thought it was really cool, you know, the dog grooming. You know, I think how a lot of people think of our profession, I thought I would like spend my whole day playing with dogs. You know, we know that that's not exactly what happens, but I started going every day after school, you know, and at some point to help her with the grooming. And then at some point I moved my school period for the night time and started going every day, you know, full-time job. And, you know, after that, one thing led to another. I bought a show dog, and I started grooming for show. And then she ended up having a son, which was the number one ass in Brazil at the time. And that introduced me to the breeder circle. And that's what I really wanted to go. And I went to work, like, luckily, with one of the biggest breeders in South America, which is Hampton Court Kennel, Victor Malzoni Jr. He just won Westminster this year, and I think two times he already won with the Skye, the other Fox Terrier. And from that, one thing led to another. I work with several different breeders, a lot of different types of dogs. That wasn't the point that long hair dogs were my favorite. So I used to grow hair instead of cut the hair. And now, you know, one of them ended up introducing me to a kennel in the United States, which I came to work under and be an assistant. And now I'm here. You know.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you. And I know the grooming industry really looks up to you. And just, you know, with your kind personality and your competitive spirit, but you're humble at the same time. So we definitely appreciate you being on the show as well as being in the industry.
Oh, thank you.
Who, if any, were some of your idols in the industry growing up and why?
Well, growing up, I always look forward to, you know, handlers and breeders. One of my big idols growing up, I think it was, it still is. It's Clayton Muniz from Brazil. He is, you know, a phenomenon groomer. And he is amazing with Bichons. He was the first groomer from Brazil that compete outside of the country and won Best in Show on Intergroom. So he is a idol in Brazil, you know, in the grooming industry. And it still is to me. Even nowadays, when we go out for the shows and we compete side by side, he is my biggest motivation. He's always like, oh my God, you're going to win. You're doing so great. And that always keeps me, you know, like so happy and keeps me going and don't let me give up when I get frustrated. Another idol, it's Lindsay Dickin for sure, because I think she reached a point where she won everything with every breed. And that's what I love. That one makes me admire someone when the person is not just good, but is versatile. You know, when the person can do a lot of different dogs in a very amazing level. And, you know, that makes a big difference. And at the same time, you know, those two people, Clayton and Lindsay, if you talk to them, they're still approachable. They will still talk to you. They will help you without questions asked. And I think that's the most admirable thing about someone that you look forward to. And the other person that I always look forward to was Paul Flores, which I had the luck of working and living with him. And nowadays, you know, he's like my family. He changed a lot in the breed on his time. And that is something that I think everybody wants to do, wants to make an impact when they pass by the industry or when they pass by their lifetime. It should make an impact in what they did. And so those three people, I think, is why I look forward to.
And you would say that Paul Flores is, like, in the Bichon world, is just like a superhero, correct?
Yeah, he is mentioned in all the Bichon books nowadays. You know, he had for the longest time the number one Bichon of all times. I believe now this new dog, Flynn, surpassed it. But it was from over 20 years, or I think 17 years, the number one Bichon in the country. He bred more Bichon champions than anyone else, at least that I know. And, you know, the whole world, if you look at their pedigree and go back, there is some sort of parade. So how awesome is that? Your work, what you do, reflects in the entire, you know, breed. And that is something that I really admire.
And I think this goes back to actually to Paul Flores, just from us talking before, but what's the best compliment that you've ever received?
Well, when I was working under him and learning, we were in San Diego show one time, and he looked at my dog and he said, oh my God, this dog looks like I did it. And I was really happy because he was a person that I used to like be on the internet looking at his pictures all the time when I was growing up. And, you know, I started grooming when I was 12. So I was growing up when I was seeing all of this. And later on, I would never imagine I would work under him and then have him say that it looks like he did it. It was something that I never thought I could even achieve. So it was awesome.
So now you mentioned a whole bunch of accolades at the beginning. And, you know, you are sponsored by several companies. What would you say to this point? What's been the proudest moment in your grooming career? so far?
Well, placing in the jackpot is always awesome.
we'll get into that in just a second. He's talking about Super Zoo and when he actually, which just happened this past weekend. So we actually were fortunate that we are doing a second episode. The first one is in the vault. You guys will probably not hear any of that. but we're fortunate because, again, Super Zoo just occurred this past weekend or the weekend before. And we'll get into that in just a second. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, you know, competing nowadays with the people that all my idols, you know, there is a phrase that says you need to work hard enough so your idols become your rivals. And I think that's pretty much what happened. I always look forward to all these people because they're all amazing. And nowadays, being able to compete side by side with them in the same level is something that I'm incredibly proud of. And the other thing is owning a business. You know, I never thought, because my entire life I groomed dogs, but I never had the responsibility of payroll, being able to create something that gives myself, and not just myself, someone else a living. That is something that I'm also incredibly proud of.
You mentioned, sorry about that. You mentioned, you know, make your idols your new rivals. I was actually just writing that down because I think that that's very powerful.
No, it needs to work hard enough to the point that your idols become your rivals.
Yeah, I like it. I was just thinking of a t-shirt, so.
Copyrighted.
I'm sure it's out there already, but I'll put a spin on it so I don't get sued. You know, you were looked up to by a lot in the Bichon world as well, because you just do phenomenal grooms on that breed. What breed do you groom that tends to always force your hand to challenge yourself or go outside the box a little bit?
That would definitely be terriers, because that's actually how I started with show grooming when I worked for Victor Monzoni Jr. In Brazil, but that was been like 10 years ago. So nowadays, you know, everything's more modern. The lines change, the length of the jacket change. I just now acquired a Scotty because I'm very comfortable with scissoring any dog basically, but hand stripping, it's still something that I'm working on to build, to get in the same level that I have, I believe, with Bichons. To be as comfortable as I am that I have with Bichon or Poodles, I want to be with terriers and hand stripping, you know, but it's a whole different thing because they have a totally different personality. They're sometimes they're feisty, they're more playful. They don't stay still as usual, as you know, scissor dogs sometimes. So yeah, that's something that I'll always challenge my hand. It's hand stripping.
All right. And I know that that's my wife in particular definitely wants to get into hand stripping as well. So I'm sure that's another dog that will be added to our ever-growing company of dogs. But that's, you know, that's how it is when you're a handler and you're a groomer. It's like you have your own your own land of dogs.
You can't really evolve if you don't have it, because the clients are limited. You know, you can only go as far with clients. Sometimes you're like, oh, I would really like to make the Bichon head big. I want to try to do a show trim, but then summer gets here and then you're growing that hair, taking care of it. And this client was like, oh, I want it short this time. And so that whole work, it's gone. Or you take care of the dog, keep it up, make the hair grow. And then when it gets close to competition, the owner is like, oh, I'm not sure if I want my dog away from me. So if you really want to explore and go push yourself, you need to have your own dog.
So now you mentioned clients, yeah, and you own your own shop. Yeah. What would be your fantasy amazing client, like just absolutely perfect client?
A client that drops off, don't bug me. I have 15 minutes asking what time your dog they're gonna be done. A client that
doesn't take only 15 minutes to bathe and groom a dog.
Oh my god, yeah. Why is it ready yet? Well, a client that does, of course, complain about the prices that I have to charge for their dog. A client that comes in consistently and, you know, books ahead of time, doesn't call me on a Saturday morning asking if they can get their dog in, and then I say no. They're like, well, how come you don't have time? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think the perfect client would be the client that recognizes myself as a human being, not like a entity that knows that I get tired, that it's their dog gets trouble sometimes, that I'm a person dealing with their dog, not just like I'm not a machine. You know, I think clients a lot of times think that you don't have feelings, you don't get sick, you don't get tired, you don't get overworked, and they just want now and fast and pretty and pristine. They don't think, you know, that you're a person.
Right. Yeah. Because if you have a death in the family, God forbid, you close the shop for 2 days.
Exactly. Well, I closed the shop to go to Super Zoo because it was something nice for me and for my staff. And I was bitched out the whole week.
Yeah. They don't see it as you competing to get better. They see it as you're taking
the vacation for themselves, you know,
right.
Like the better that we get, the better service we offer.
But right, exactly.
If they don't have the here and now, it's not enough.
Well, continuing education is definitely, that's huge in all careers, no matter what, but definitely in grooming because things are always changing, styles are always changing. So this is a question I just thought of that's not on my cards. Would you rather have a client that tips really, really well, or one that is super sweet and says, Gabriel, you can do whatever you want, I trust you? Which of those two would you rather have?
The one that is super sweet and say you can do whatever you want. Because if I can do whatever I want, I can charge them enough that I don't mind for the tip.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that you were not a machine, but some of your followers on Instagram would disprove that. So you're pretty popular on Instagram. You now reached 20,000 followers. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's that?
I said thank you, everyone that followed me.
I'm one of them, so I helped you reach that goal. So yay on me. For those who are wanting more followers for their grooming, what is a main suggestion that you have to start the ball rolling for them to get more followers?
Well, I think the main thing is that you need to not only display, you know, a good work at what you do, but you also need to display some of your personality. You need to put yourself on your page. I see a lot of people, a lot of grooming shops, Instagrams, they're just pictures of the dogs in the same background. And you don't even know who the person is. Sometimes I am at the shows and like, oh my God, hi, I follow you. And I'm like, hi, but I've never seen you before because your page is only your dogs, which, you know, it's great. But I think you need to put your personality a little bit in the front of your art as well. There's other things that be careful with the background of your pictures. I think when you look in an Instagram, it's almost like a TV channel. You don't go to, ESPN to see a movie. You go there because you want to see news, correct? So if you have an Instagram that is directed to dog grooming, you don't want to see anybody working out or video games or anybody's hobbies or plants. You want to see dog grooming. But you can do it in a way that it's, you know, attractive. So you can post a pretty portrait of the dog. You can post a cute video. You can post a picture of yourself with the dog sometimes. And just make sure that the arrangement of the picture is nice. Like, it's an advertisement for your business and for yourself. So don't put a picture where in the background you can see the cage is like half open, half closed with a lot of hair on the floor. And I don't know, a shredded mat that a dog chew in the crate. Because everybody has this in the grooming shop in a busy day. But when you're looking for entertainment, which is Instagram, which is on the go, fast, 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 you don't want the real. You want, you know, something pretty. You want something to look up for, something that, just like when you see runaway fashion show, or when you see like Victoria's Secret, we know not all of us are gonna look that good in their underwear. But we still watch it because it's entertaining. You know, it's pretty, it's flashy. And I think that's what social media nowadays is about. If you want to get your name out there, you need to just be cool, you know, on Instagram.
Now, do you ever feel like sometimes if something, I mean, because obviously, you know, crap happens in a salon, but Do you ever feel like sometimes something's so funny that you do want to post it, even though it's not perfection, because people can relate to it?
Well, the other day we had a German Shepherd that he literally shit in the entire shop. And I mean, I was laughing to not cry because they were like, I put him in the tub, he shit the entire tub. And then it was already wet, so I was trying to dry him, and then he shit the entire table and the wall. And then, you know, it was like non-stopping, and he was shitting up to the moment that the owner came pick it up. And I was laughing a lot because I was like, you know, we're in the middle of the shit. I was like, there's no way that I can post something like that. And I'm not going to, because people online, especially when you reach a certain, I don't think I have that many followers, but when you reach a certain number of people following you, they can be really sensitive. So sometimes if you, for example, I thought it was really funny, you know, like, oh my God, look at me here. Like, I can't get enough of cleaning this. But a lot of people online will be upset, saying that I probably mistreated the dog, that I make him really stressed. Or there is things that you need to put a filter on, because I posted the other day a video that I thought was really cute of me like throwing my dog a little bit up, and he loves that. But someone commented and saying, that's very dangerous, be careful, you're messing up with all his internal organs. So you're like, what can you do? You know, people are very sensitive. Like, you need to be very careful the way you portray that. Because sometimes it's funny to you, it's funny for 90% of the people, but there's 10% of people, they're only looking forward to see you're doing a mistake.
Of course, yeah. Do you feel like you have such loyal followers, though, that you don't even need to respond to that comment because other people will do it for you?
No, I just usually just ignore it, because a lot of times I think if you say something, you're giving that person strength.
Yep.
We'll give you an answer. So I just, you know, ignore it. And if it's getting too annoying, you just block it and probably get it.
Now, you have a really good, nasty shit story that you told me in the first episode, the first go around. Can you share to elaborate on that one again?
Yes. Well, that was the nastiest moment of my career thing. I was working to this grooming business that, you know, this was a what's it called? A chain. And they were famous for doing physiotherapy for dogs. So we got a lot of dogs in the grooming that they couldn't walk. They were, you know, paraplegic. And well, my friend was washing one of those dogs, and the dog had no bladder control. And she was washing it. So imagine the scene, the dog was on the table and the liquor brush fell on the floor. So she squatted to get this liquor brush, but she kept the first dryer on the table. That moment the dog started peeing. And the force dryer was pushing all the urine on top of her. And she started screaming. And then everything started getting to her mouth, which was worst. And then if it wasn't enough, she started throwing up. So it was the dog peeing on the table, the urine going everywhere because she was still with the force dryer, and throwing up on the floor. And I didn't know if I was going to throw up with her or if I helped, if I turn off the dryer or if I grabbed the dog, but yeah.
So did you just stand there and watch?
I didn't know what to do. Cause it was like, what can you do? Like, I was disgusted with the fact that she was throwing up. Cause I mean, the dog can do anything in front of me.
It was like watching a real life.
But if the person does, then I would throw up. You know what I mean? I don't care, you know, if the dog throws up, if he poops everywhere, if he I don't know. I don't care. But if a person does, then
yeah. But when you start mixing those worlds, it gets a little. It gets a little too much.
Yeah. Then I get really sick. From that.
So now you're not working in the chain. You have your own salon now, and that's always a big accomplishment. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your shop?
Well, my shop started when I first came to San Diego. I was working for the Bow Wow Beauty Shop. And by the end of the year, she had other projects coming up, and she didn't want the grooming anymore. So she offered me to get the grooming in a pretty reasonable way, which it was really great because I could afford it. And, you know, it was really nice because in a year and a half now, we're in a year and a half onto business. We're making triple of what we're initially doing. So that makes me really happy because, you know, it's hard. I've never done a business before. So I didn't know where to go to get more clients. I didn't know how to grow this clientele. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, I have a waiting list now. In the beginning, I was like trying to put ads online, trying to promote it. I think it's all the business in the beginning. And now it's just like I turn dogs away every day.
That's awesome. And what would you say is your biggest pet peeve for having your own pet your salon?
What is pet peeve?
Oh, okay. So pet peeve would be something that really irritates you. It's something that just gets under your skin all the time, but it happens quite a bit. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Second language barriers.
No, it's okay. It has nothing to do with pets.
Yeah. I was like, what gets under my skin? Well, phones. I hate answering the phone. Oh my God. Every time the phone rings, I have my iPad. And it's almost like if you were drawing or if you're like doing a sculpture and someone's like poking you in the back, like, hey, 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 what about this? Hey, what about that? You know what I mean? And I'm trying to focus on the grooming and I can't because it's a distraction all the time. That
you realize when a lot of people hear this podcast, you're going to have more phone calls for people who are wanting to answer the phone in your salon.
I know. I mean, I hope so. There is that. And there is, unreasonable clients. I think that's irritates anyone. But the problem is it happens almost every day. There is almost every day someone that wants in last minute. And when you get that dog in last minute, you be sure that dog would be either matted or it will bite, and that person does not keep up with, because the person that keeps up with will book in advance because they know the dog is going to get mad at. And those last minute clients, which I usually don't do it anymore, but just the fact that they call, and when you say, you know, I only have appointments, you know, 2 weeks from now. How come only 2 weeks from now?
Oh, all the time.
I was like,
yeah.
What do you mean? This is a business. I have a
schedule. Especially right. And I'm sure all the groomers that are listening can attest to this. And, you know, you guys, I'm not a groomer, but, you know, my wife and I own a grooming shop, and this will happen all the time. Right before a major holiday, they call like 3 days before Thanksgiving. Hey, I need to get my dog in. And you're like, we're booked for the next month. And they're like, what? And then they hang up the phone. And then you know what ends up happening? They end up calling back and say, you know what, go ahead. Well, I'll put them on the schedule.
Exactly. And let me tell you, there is another thing that irritates me is when people show up late for their appointment. And when you say, I don't have time to do your dog anymore. And they're like, what do you mean? But you're like, well, you don't show up to your doctor half an hour late expecting to still be seen. You don't show up for the restroom reservation half an hour late and expect to still have your table. You don't show up for your manicure half an hour late and still expect her to do it. Why do you think I have the time for you to show up half an hour late and still have your appointment?
Because
what makes the dog running different?
Because that's how they think. It's their dog and you have no other dogs on the schedule.
So like, I'm sorry, nothing special. You know what I mean? I have...
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, every dog is special, but that is unfortunately how a lot of the clients are, that they just, you know, and
every dogs are special, but for exactly that reason, that person is not that special. Because
exactly
her dog, don't get me wrong, love them all, but it's like, what a bitch move to do when you come half an hour late and you're like, you know, can you just do it? And you're like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah, because it pushes all the other dogs back.
Yes, and I have all the other clients calling me asking when their dogs are going to be done.
It just throws your whole day off. So now we briefly discussed at the beginning that you went to Super Zoo. Was it this past Wednesday? The Wednesday before? Oh yeah, it was this past Wednesday. Yeah.
From Tuesday to Thursday.
So tell us a little bit about your experience for those of us who have never been to Super Zoo, including myself. You know, about just the prep, your nerves, and how you basically came in top five.
Well, Super Zoo is one of the biggest events. I think is the biggest in the United States for the groomers, and you know, it is a lot of preparation because you know everybody wanted to go to Super Zoo. Because in Super Zoo, everybody from the world comes. So there's people from Mexico, people from Taiwan, people from Japan, China, you know, Brazil, Chile, all South America. So it is like a world-class competition. And of course, everybody wants to be in their best. The thing is, for me, this year on Super Zoo, my career got changed a lot from the last 2 years. You know, I moved to San Diego 2.5 years ago, literally what fit in the car. So we got here and, you know, I was working two jobs. I was working at the shop and working at the poodle kennel while we're getting our feet. And all of a sudden I have a business, and all of a sudden that business was incredibly busy. All of a sudden I had three sponsors that are, you know, multinational brands. And all of a sudden I had a million requests for seminars and all over the world and judging. I have trips booked all the way to, I think, June of next year. And I have another one in October. So it's like, it was crazy how it changed so fast. But this month specifically really hit me. So when we were getting ready to leave to Super Zoo, you know, my schedule was hectic. I didn't have time to pre-groom my dogs in advance for Super Zoo. So I was incredibly overwhelmed and a little stressed. So in the first few days of the competition, I was really literally having anxiety crisis while I was grooming the dogs. I thought I wasn't going to finish. It was just difficult. And you know, when you get when you are already overwhelmed and you put the nervousness of the competition on top of it, it's like insane. Well, but by the end of the second day, I was able to decompress, you know, put my head in the right place. So I was like, okay, tomorrow is jackpot. I'm really gonna focus on that. So I was literally washing my dog to 1 a.m. And then again, I woke up in the morning and washed him again because I wanted to make sure he was as white as possible, the best brush as possible. Because, you know, for more than all the competition is hard, the super jackpot, which is the competition that has $20,000 in prizes, it is the pressure. And if I was already having a harder time with the other ones, I would be sure that I was going to freak out in this one. So I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to be ready. I wanted to be ahead of time. So, you know, everything would go smoothly. You know, I have to also thank my husband and Clayton, which encouraged me to not give up, not give it everything away to the anxiety. The past year, I was also in the top five. So this year, I wanted to be the same thing, you know, at least, or at least make the cut. Then I got there and I had, you know, my Bichon Cameron, which is, you know, a sweetheart. And I was really focused that day, thank God, because the competition was, I already said it a million times, but it was so difficult. And, you know, I got really, I wouldn't say just lucky, but lucky too. And we got fifth place on jackpot. You know, it was 44 competitors. The whole top 10 lineup was only like rock stars of the grooming industry. So I was really happy to be on the top five for the second year.
Well, congratulations on that. And how many groomers were in your specific competition?
44.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, man. I know that you you work really hard and you take a lot of pride in your in your grooms and your craft. So you, kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We have some questions that were submitted from groomers that they would like to ask you some questions. Okay. And this is from Amy Brown Burris. What is the biggest mistake that you have made and learned from?
In the grooming industry, you always have to put everything in a contract.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We did discuss this.
Yeah, you always need to write everything down, you know, because especially with dogs, a lot of things change. And sometimes what is agreed upon a while ago, afterwards, people, a lot of people, we're artists. So a lot of people just don't keep, they don't have like the black and white. It's a very gray area when you deal with, you know, artists. So a lot of this can shift a lot in the meantime. So that's one of them, you know. I did a mistake in the past of not writing things down and just trusting in someone's word, and that did not work well for me. And yeah, and the other thing is to not let other people, like clients, control your life and like walk all over you. Like, it's okay to say no. Say no, I won't do your dog today. No, I cannot do your dog anymore because it's messing up my schedule. You don't pay me enough. This is not good enough. That I'm a yes person, that I usually say yes. So a lot of people want to avoid conflict a lot. So this has been a lesson that I've been learning this year, which is saying, no, this is not okay. No, I don't want to do that event. No, I don't want to speak here. No, I don't want to groom your dog. No, your dog, I'm not going to do it anymore. Or I don't have the time right now. And I think was a big mistake that I was doing, that I would just say yes to everything. And when everything would come, I would be having a meltdown. So, yeah. And it's okay to say no.
It is okay to say no. You know, that's a difficult thing for people to understand, especially when they try to take on too many things all at the same time, and then they suffer burnout, and then the industry's lost a really good groomer. So this is from Rachel Aloia. What are some of the best resources that you've used to further your career, such as books, videos, podcasts, seminars, etc.?
Well, where I learned the most was working under people that I admire. So that I never was a person that was very, I never studied a lot. So even the English and Spanish when I learned was doing it. I'm the kind of person that learned things doing. So I would work sometimes for free for handlers and breeders and wash their cattle all day, up to in the end of the day, do one dog, you know, and I could practice and they could show me how they do it. Now, if I had to use resources, nowadays there's a lot of videos that you can see online. You can pay to watch videos. You can look at Westminster. When I'm grooming a new breed that I never done before, the first thing I do is Google this breed show trim. Let's suppose Bedlington Terrier show trim, and I will look at some pictures of the show dogs and see the ones that attract me the most. Then afterwards, I'm gonna go see the videos of the breed judging from the latest year on Westminster and Crufts, because it's very important to see the dog moving and the dog underneath the haircut. Especially when you see a dog show in the level of Westminster or Crufts, people invest a lot of money in those shows. So they only go prepared and with what they have best, with their best dog, with their best haircut. So you can see, you know, how some haircuts fluctuated, how some of them are a little bit fleshier, some of them are a little bit more on the working side. And with that, you can create your own style. That's my first step when I go, when I see a breed that I never done before, is look at the pictures online, the ones that attract me the most, and then go to Westminster video breed judging and Crufts video breed judging. They're all online. Westminster have the videos from years and years that you can watch, and I think it's incredibly valuable.
And we talked about this as well. Just it seems like you never stop trying to educate yourself, you yourself. And
yeah, there is a point now that I need to separate myself from work a little, because everything merged. So I basically work all day. You know, I my phone all the time, and I'm answering someone on Instagram or updating my website, or because, you know, I groom 8 hours ago. So after that, I still have, you know, my schedule of events to keep up with and social media, and I want to learn more. So yeah, it's a little too much sometimes. I need to cut back on it.
All right. Well, at least you're recognizing that before you, you know, do get to that point of burnout. So this question is from Don Fox. What's the easiest way to trim ears straight across? Because for her, they seem even until the dog starts to walk, and then they're uneven.
I always groom in front of a mirror. So that's I learned. It was like grooming 101 when I started doing show dogs. Because when competing, I always take some steps away from the dog to look what I'm doing. Because when you're really close, I think it's kind of hard to explain, but your eyes, the image that you see from your eyes are not really flat unless you are from a distance. So I always groom in front of a mirror, because the mirror, when you look in the wall, you see the dog like 10 feet away. Sometimes you're right there, but when you look in the wall, you see the dog like 10 feet away. So that helps me seeing the dog overall, if both sides are even. And I know the question's about the ear, but even about the body, I also measure my trims of the comb. For example, I have my Utsumi 9-inch comb that I put in one side, and I know that that comb is exactly 1 inch wide. So I put in one side, there's exactly 1 inch. Put in the other side, and the comb is too deep inside of the hair, I know that that side is not 1 inch. So then I can, you know, if I don't have a mirror, I can use the measuring. It can be anything. It can be a comb. It can be the tip of your shear. It can be anything. You know, just put in one side, put in the other side, and see if they're even. Yeah, that's how I do it.
All right. We have about 5 more questions, and we are done. What do you tell a groomer that's talented, but they take a little too long on one dog?
Well, for the longest time, especially when I first opened the shop, I thought that everything was about finishing, to making sure that every single dog was incredibly perfect. But if you don't do fast enough, all that talent won't bring you money. Unfortunately, if you work, you know, the majority, everyone, me, everyone, the main source of income is the grooming shop, right? And at the grooming shop, if you don't have enough dogs, I don't think you get enough money. Unless, of course, there's people in very good areas that can charge, you know, $250, $300 for a small dog's haircut. But that, it's not on the reality of the majority of the people. So if you want to have flow in your salon, more dogs, and someone is incredibly talented, sometimes you need to find a way to speed up things. You know, use a guard comb instead of scissoring the dog by hand. Use a guard comb on top of the head, and then you only scissor, you know, the beard and the ears. There is ways that you can learn to speed up your process so you can do more volume, and that talent won't be wasted, and you get money as well.
All right, very good advice. What was the hardest part when you decided to be a dog groomer for your career?
I think the hardest part, it was the support from family and friends, because when I decided that I wanted to do this, well, first I was a kid. So a lot of people thought it was a phase, that I was just playing with dogs and that would pass. But till now, now, you know, it's easy to be like, oh my God, how proud I am of him. Look at how much things he did. But in the beginning, when you're learning how to groom, a lot of people think that, you know, you're grooming dogs and I don't know. It's a job that doesn't require any skill. You know, they think that anyone can go inside of a salon, wash a dog, trim a dog, and make it look pretty. But they don't understand how much study, how much dedication. It's hard on your body, and you need to be persistent. You need to be disciplined to keep doing so you learn all of that. And the hardest part for me was that I didn't have that support. I didn't have people that said, oh my God, what you're doing is so amazing. Congratulations, you're going to be great doing this. You're going to go really far. What I heard was, you know, you should really go to college. You should really do something else. You should really plan your life better. That's not going to take you anywhere. And that was the hardest part, because for a lot of times I thought about quitting and, I don't know, trying to do something completely different, because I kind of believed on that. So I just think, yeah, that was the hardest part, the support
that I did. And do you still feel like grooming is your calling?
Yeah, I mean, I never did anything different ever, and I don't plan on stopping. No, grooming is something that it can wear off your body at some point. So I am looking for alternatives that I can possibly bring income other than grooming. So I can groom for pleasure and not because I have to at some point in my life. But as of right now, yeah, I don't see me doing anything else.
Good. Yeah, I just read something. I read an article that said that the average lifespan of a groomer is about 10 years because their body just gives out, or their arthritis kicks in, or they have wrist issues for whatever reason.
Yep.
10 years seems to be like the, so yeah. What, so for a beginning groomer, and I'm going to tie in two questions because I know, I made the question hard for you. Or when I asked it to you the very first time, I asked you if you had $100. So I have increased it to $500. So I'm going to, the question is, for a beginning groomer, you have $500.
Yeah.
What tools would you say are a must have to start grooming?
Well, you need to have straight shear, a thinning shear, and finishing comb, I would say.
What length of the shears do you recommend for a beginning groomer?
Well, that is very personal. For me, tools are like underwear. You need to have your own. You don't share. It's like extension of your arm. It's whatever feels good. You know, for me, I like 8-inch shears. That's basically all my shears are 8 inches. I have some mini ones that I use from like details, but what I do every day are I use 3 to 4 shears all day. And it's a blender, a thinning, a straight and a curve, all the same size. And I think that's the base of my job, was those 4 shears and a comb. Of course, you need a pair of clippers, you need a slicker brush. But if you have the shear and you have skill, you can make a lot of your clipper haircuts just with your shear. So if I only had $500 nowadays with the skill that I have, I would buy shears instead of clippers. If it was a long time ago, I would probably buy the clippers instead of the shears. But if, you know, $500, it's a small budget.
Hey man, I increased it. It was $100 question before.
Well, you know, I'm considering that this new groomer works in a shop that has clippers and dryers and all that. So I would buy one. A good comb and a thinning and a straight shear.
All right, fair enough. And then eventually get into the force dryer and cage dryers and all that other good stuff.
So. Well, yeah, I would go to the force dryer first, then the fluff dryer. Then, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things, yeah. So it's, trust me, it's a never ending purchase when you own a salon, never. All right, we are going to enter a speed round, and then I have one more question for you. But the speed round, you have to say whatever comes to your mind right off the bat. It's 5 very quick questions to kind of drive right into your personal life. Nothing too personal, but just so fans of yours and groomers abroad can just kind of get to know Gabriel a little bit better. Are you ready?
Yep.
Favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite TV show right now?
TV show, Stranger Things.
Favorite TV show growing up?
Power Rangers.
Whoa! All right. What was your favorite Power Ranger?
The white one.
The from white
that
one.
Season. Yeah. The. Well, I mean, he was.
But wasn't that played by a black character, or is that wrong?
No, I think the guy was pretty white.
I just remember was it the Black Power? I never watched the show. I think I was right on the cusp of being a little too old for it, so I didn't I didn't dive into it. But was there a Black Power Ranger?
Yeah, there was. There always was. But this Power Rangers, when I was growing up and I had like all the toys, it was like shit. I loved it.
Awesome. Okay, so favorite grooming show. But when I talk about that, I mean like which one for you to go to and compete in?
The trade shows?
Yeah.
There would be Pasadena. Groom okay. Expo West.
The Groom Expo. And why is that?
Because it's close to my house.
Oh, well.
And I can take all my dogs.
There you go. All right. That's fair enough. Favorite quote? It could be inspirational. It could be.
Well, I think I already said it.
I have it right here. Make your idols your new rivals.
Yeah. Work hard to the point that your rivals, your idols become your rivals.
Got it. And that's going to be on t-shirts in the next couple weeks.
Copyrighted.
It's all right. I'll give you a percentage. Favorite beer?
Favorite beer? I'm not a beer person. I like sweet cocktails.
All right. Favorite cocktail?
I like Moscow Mule and I like Cosmo.
All right. Cosmo. Well, as I said before, we will take Jeremy and yourself out for lunch or something like that when we were in Hershey, and I will get you a Cosmo, sir.
All right.
I have one last question, but before I ask it, do you want to go ahead and thank all your sponsors?
Yeah, I want to thank a lot Hydra and Utsumi and Andes, which, you know, without them, I wouldn't be able to do all this that I do. You know, they helped me a lot with the traveling, with, you know, all the support. And I think one of the most important things is they give me strength just to know that brands as strong as they are supporting my job. It gives me that extra boost of confidence when I have to speak or when I have to compete. And it keeps me going. It keeps me from not giving up.
Awesome. And they definitely have a good person to represent their company. So congratulations on that. You've deserved it for sure. And last question, I have a follow-up question, but that's more for people getting in touch with you. What's next for you? What is something that you see yourself doing here in the next year that you're really excited about?
Well, I do have some projects coming up. Some of them I can't speak yet, but I am very excited to possibly extend, you know, my job to other parts of the world that I haven't been yet, and which I have trips coming up, and I have more invitations that I'm trying to make it work. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to, and something that I always wanted to be able to show what I do, which I consider, you know, art to the world to see. And I really want to, I'm really excited about that. And yeah, that's, I think, my ultimate goal. And I don't know what I'm going to do after that.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it. I don't know what these projects are, but I can tell they're probably going to be very successful. So the last question is, where can people find you? So if they wanted to contact you, you know, what is your Instagram handle and any other avenues that people can get in touch with you?
Well, my Instagram handle is at Gabriel as a groomer. You know, I basically post everything that's going on there. And I even started sharing a little bit more on my personal side on that page now. If you guys want to contact me for any event, I would like you guys to send me an email instead of DMing on Instagram, because sometimes I can't read it. So email to info@gabrielfeitosagroomer.com. And that I will receive it, and then we can discuss it and we can really look into it.
All right, and I'll put that stuff on the show notes when this wraps up. And Gabriel, I just want to thank you very much for your time. I know you know how busy you are, and I appreciate you taking the time on your day off to spend some time with us today. And
Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be one of the first guys that are doing this new project with you. You know, I have, you guys are amazing, you and your wife.
Thank you.
In Ohio, we had a really good connection, and I was really happy to do this with you. So thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you very much. And I look forward to, you know, seeing you and Jeremy again in Hershey in about 2 weeks. So let's enjoy the time and let's keep this improvement of the grooming industry going. And again, thank you very much for your time and all that you do for the industry.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one, Gabriel.
You too.